insightful analysis, bold comments, friendly debates. Find all that on Roundtable, an in-depth discussion on hot topics in China, only on Easy FM.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Roundtable, coming to you from Easy FM every day from 1 to 2 p.m. I'm He Yang, joined by Brian Kavzinski and someone from the British Embassy Beijing, our very special guest for the day, Megan Copeland. Hello, welcome to our studio. We have some fascinating topics for discussion today and every day. To all the ladies out there, we'd like to wish you a very happy International Women's Day. Yay! And, well, today is the day for an annual celebration of the social, economic, cultural, and political achievements of women. Our radio station, Easy FM, has partnered with the British Embassy to have a special radio day. The theme is Be Yourself. We'll look at the progress as well as the pitfalls that have been made in attempt to achieve global gender parity. We always want to hear from you and have you join our live discussion. Come and find us on WeChat. Just search for EZFM Roundtable or leave us your thoughts on Sina Weibo. Just key in 轻松调频 Roundtable. If you're a podcast listener, we're Roundtable 圆桌会议 there. And another reason to add us on WeChat right now is that you can use the platform to send us bullet comments during the live show. Not only can you interact with us, but also with other listeners. All you need to do is, of course, add us on WeChat first, EZFM Roundtable, and just click on the icon called Danmu View at the bottom right corner of our WeChat home interface. Come and play with us. View, view, view. But first, Easy FM and the British Embassy have jointly conducted a survey for the International Women's Day. 210 listeners have participated in the joint survey titled Be Yourself. What's quite interesting, a backgrounder to let you guys know, is that 89% of participants are female, 84% are aged between 20 and 40. This survey has some pretty interesting findings, and I'll start with the first one that caught my attention. That is, when being asked, what do you think of this International Women's Day, the special day, 45% of respondents say that this is a day that's worth to be celebrated, and 46% say it's just a common day, just like any other day. Why the big fuss? Guys, I want to ask you, do you think that is a bit of a surprise, that reaction? And how do you celebrate this day at your home country?
Well, I think it's a little bit ironic here, because obviously we're celebrating it in that we're talking about this. But at the same time, out of the four people in this studio right now, there are three women who are working on this day where they're supposed to have a half day off. So I think that's a little bit interesting here. But in the U.S., it's not really celebrated very much, and I actually hadn't heard of it before I came here. But obviously, it seems like a good thing to celebrate, you know, at least once a year, if nothing else, to draw attention mm-hmm. to women and their situation in the world.
What about you, Megan, in the U.K.? I'm sure that is where you're from. And do you kind of celebrate this day as making it special that, you know, women's rights on this special day, we should talk about that?
I completely agree with Brian, in fact. I wanted to say thank you first for inviting us on the show. I think it's great that we're having this cooperation. But International Women's Day was something that I wasn't particularly aware of before I started to work on it. And in the UK, you know, we have the same thing. So, in fact, I'm not so surprised by the survey results.
Mm-hmm.
However, at the British Embassy, we have celebrated it every year, and that's why we're doing this campaign this year, the Be Yourself campaign. And in fact, this year we're doing a whole month, so we hope that we're really encouraging people to celebrate it more this year.
Yeah, I think that is one useful thing of the day, because it's like you have a theme, you have a reason. Just like, sorry to make this comparison, Valentine's Day. And then, you know, there is a reason that you should sort of take a moment and pause and think about what we're talking about today. And today we think about, you know, the situation that women have been in, just we know that, I think, this species of humans has made great contribution, and I think we've made great progress in the past years. But still, there's so many things that, as a woman, you think about it and you compare with the male gender and feel, why aren't we the same? Mm-hmm. And I think that deserves a lot more attention. And that's also why we're having this discussion today.
I would completely agree again. I mean, the whole be yourself idea came from us wanting to empower women and say, women, you just need to be yourselves. And that means you should be able to be whatever you want to be, whether that's an astronaut or a reporter, or you want to have children, or however you want to live your life, you should be able to do it. And that's the idea behind the Be Yourself campaign. So I think that that's a very important topic to talk about today.
Yes, and I think it is a very powerful message to send out to encourage men and women, I'd like to think. But as we continue our discussion, we'll see there are a lot of obstacles on the way. And I will put you guys on the spot and we'll talk about how can we overcome some of them. So when these male and female respondents answered this question, it's really interesting that the women tend to think that, well, first of all, have a day off. That's a wonderful way to celebrate the day. And I totally agree with.
As you're sitting here in the studio, not having your half day off.
Yeah, and I'm contemplating on how can I get my half a day free day off in the very near future. I'll have to have a negotiation with my employer. She is very understanding.
Well, that's
good. Yes, so I'm sure I'll be able to get it. And also, shopping seems to be what ladies like to do on this day, and hang out with your best girlfriends. That's also quite useful. Mm. And Brian, what do you think the male's position is when it comes to this day that doesn't really cover their benefit, maybe?
I think the first reaction for most upon hearing about this would be that they've never heard of this before. So there's that there. A lot of them probably wouldn't put too much thought into it, but, you know, maybe let women have a day off. That seems pretty reasonable. Some of the other men thought about, you know, well, maybe us men should do more housework, should pay more attention to the woman, and just give them more. I don't know.
Gifts.
You can give gifts, for example. Take them out to dinner, that sort of thing. But make it sort of a nice day. Like, I guess in some places, in some countries in the world, it's seen as kind of like Mother's Day in a certain way, where it's just like a day to kind of celebrate women, do nice things to them, as opposed to maybe the cause of women overall.
Hmm. I think that's a really nice idea. At least for me, what I would really like to see is this day being a day for raising awareness about gender equality, mm-hmm. And definitely about for men realizing that they can be part of the solution too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I really want to see is a inequality in finding the solution. It's not just women who have to realize that they need to push forward and achieve. Mm-hmm. It's also men who, as you said, could help out with the housework more, or, you know, in the home, in the office, supporting their female co-workers, their wives, their friends, in any way they can.
Yes, and this cannot be achieved. Equality cannot be achieved without men and women participating in this together. And what got my attention about gender equality in general in China, according to the survey, is also these questions that's been asked about what do you think women's position is, or gender equality has achievement in, let's say, the family or in society in general. And it's really interesting. As in the family, 46% of women and men say that they think it's pretty much equal in a Chinese society, and 45% say that no, it's not equal at all. But you see that the percentage is pretty similar there, and that's in the family. But when it comes to society, including the workplace, obviously, 33% of respondents say that basically equal in Chinese society, and a staggering close to 66% of respondents say not equal at all. So you see that I think gender equality has snatched a very different kind of position in home versus society today in China. And do you think that is something a little bit surprising, or what do you think is behind this phenomenon?
Well, I've heard of this this idea in Chinese that the man is the master outside of the home, and the woman is the master or is in charge inside of the home. And that might be why we see this kind of view, this kind of difference in the home versus in society. It does seem that compared to other parts of society, men and women have it's not necessarily fully equal or the same roles, but there's more of a balance of power, I guess, to use a political term there, within the home. Whereas outside the home, the situation is what you see like in other countries around the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think perhaps in the workplace it may be more obvious the differences. For example, gender pay gaps. That's a major issue around the world. No country has solved this issue, definitely not the UK, and which is why, you know, I think we're all keen to work together to find the best solution to this issue. And I think that there are many initiatives that are in the world today to achieve better equality in the workplace. For example, trying to get more women in leadership positions. Mm-hmm. For example, trying to get equal pay for equal positions. And also trying to get men better rights as well in terms of childcare, which is also very important, so that there can be an equal role in the home in terms of childcare as well as in the work.
Right. Actually, in talking about that, this reminds me, a lot of people, when they hear the word feminism, which is essentially what we're talking about here, they think of that both in English and Chinese as being putting women above men, you know, women first sort of thing. Whereas my understanding of how it actually is it's pushing for this equality, not only for women, but also for men. So a lot of this will focus on women because naturally women have been and still are generally in an inferior position to men across society. But obviously there are places where men do not receive the same benefits as women do. For example, paternity leave is not very common, while maternity leave is there. So it's an interesting thing to look at that language there, and to, you know, actually understand that when we are talking about these things, it is equality for both men and women, not just for one of the two.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And also that is the position I have adopted as well. And I proudly pronounce myself a feminist, and in Chinese, it's been an interesting evolution of a concept, I think, for people that I think in the last few years, the term feminism or 女权主义 mm-hmm. has been looked within a grain of salt, I think, mm-hmm. especially in the Chinese lingo, as it seems to a lot of people, the term means that it is some very extreme female activists promoting, like Brian said, a female position over men, when actually I tend to agree with you, Brian, that this is about men and women becoming equals, and there shouldn't be this differentiation of, oh, she's a she and he's a he, and you know, if that means differently when you're doing the same job, that kind of thing. And I think that is a term that needs a little bit of brushing up, and also I think we need to talk about it and get people's mind around it sometimes. And when we looked at this survey conducted by EZFM and the British Embassy called Believe in Yourself, there's this very fascinating part talking about the domestic violence law, anti-domestic violence law that came out at the very beginning of this month. And it asked that people, how much do you know about this law? And guess what? 42% said that they've heard of it but know nothing about it. And the rest of the respondents are pretty much just saying don't really know what's going on, or saying that they know very little about it. So it's a little bit surprising for me in the sense that this is a step forward, progress, for protecting women's rights and also elderly people and children in the household who have been abused. And sometimes men can fall into that category too. But if you look at the general picture, it's like a law is protecting these subjects, and the subjects don't even know and don't seem to have much interest in finding out more about it, then something is not right here.
Yeah, yeah. I would say the government has to do a better job of promoting this out there, letting people know that this has happened. Admittedly, this did just come into effect, March 1st. It was promulgated, I think, last year sometime, so it's a very new law. So I think, understandably, a lot of people may not know about it because of that. But I think part of it, in addition to focusing on the implementation, is popularizing it. And also, not only the existence of the law and what it does for you, but, this education on domestic violence, that it is not okay, and how to approach that in the home and other places there. So I think the government has a lot of work to do to get the message out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. But, this is a problem worldwide. The ability for women to be able to come forward and admit abuse and talk about it and get help, legal help or psychological help.
Yeah.
And I found an interesting statistic that even in the UK, there it is thought as many as 1.2 million women each year experience some kind of abuse. So in the UK, in China, we can still do a lot to solve this problem. And I think the anti-domestic violence law is a great step forward, and there's still lots of work to be done on implementation and making sure women feel they can come forward.
Yeah, that's really true. And that is also a part that I think this law still needs a little bit more work on. And this is only the beginning of a law being established. And in the future, I'm sure there will be other amendments and adding on to more useful entries. And here I'm talking about if implementation is usually the devil and usually the most difficult part. Here in this law, at least we first of all see there is a distinction between psychological and physical violence. That is great. And also there is a difference between, let's say, verbal or financial, or there's many different categories of abuse, and those things need to be addressed. And also what it doesn't really have much room devoted to at the moment is financially. Let's say, how should this victim get out of a house of abuse? And there's a very vague, for me, it's a little bit too abstract, an entry that says that relevant departments should provide financial help. But what does that mean? And that is not enough. And we know for these terrible situations, for any victim to get out of it, it's often that you're financially not dependent, independent, and that's why you can't get away from it.
I think that that's the main issue, that while this law is a great thing to have in place, it's a case of empowering women more generally to be able to support themselves financially and to be able to get out of these kind of situations if they need to.
Right, and one thing it actually also does not cover is both sexual abuse and sexual violence. As you mentioned, it does cover both physical and
psychological
there, but sexual abuse, sexual violence was not included in there, as was if former partners, whether you were in some sort of relationship or divorced, as well as same-sex partnerships as well there. So, but again, as you said, hopefully we'll see this is just a beginning, and we'll see more amendments as time goes on.
Yeah, that is true. And when I looked at the survey as well, following the previous question that's being asked, when this part was about what is your reaction when you see domestic violence happening to a neighbor or someone you know, 45% choose to try to persuade the victim to fight and get out. But if they don't listen, then you simply drop it. And do you think that is enough, or do you think this kind of attitude is not right?
I think that was a statistic that really surprised me as well. I understand that this sort of abuse is often seen as a private matter and that the issue is getting it out there, and I think this is a good first step. I think that this, you know, being able to talk about it and us talking about it on this radio show is a great step as well. One thing that has worked well in other places is things like hotlines where people can call in and report what's been happening to them in a confidential way. So that's a good solution to that. But yeah, I found that very surprising too.
Yeah, so it certainly is unfortunate there. And again, part of it may have to do with, well, traditionally here, but in many parts of the world, the idea that this is, you know, this is a problem within that family and, you know, you don't go and bother other people's stuff there. But obviously, as Megan just said, you need to make it easier for people to not only report this, but get the help they need. And then also within society itself, change the conversation, open up this conversation more, and get people aware that this is a big issue and that it is not acceptable.
That is true. And I think our discussion will be useful for those who particularly might be in this terrible situation. But also, I think there's this underlying sense of stigma, at least in the Chinese society in particular. Not only is this a private matter, but also it's kind of shameful, not only on the perpetrator, but also for some people, even on the victim. And that's something that's got to be changed. And that's one of the, today's one of those subjects when we're talking about it. I am so glad that I'm doing this job. I love this job. Because I think this is an important message we need to send out to people. That if you're in that situation, if you have been abused in some way, it's not shameful to try to get out of it or report to the authorities or to the police. And this new anti-domestic violence law gives you the power to do that, safeguards your right to do that. And guys, what do you think is the situation at home? And what do you think maybe have your country strived upon to sort of overcome the situation?
Well, I'm not as familiar. Luckily, I haven't had to deal with anything like this. But I know, obviously, the U.S. is not perfect, and it's made strides as well. But I think there's a lot of strong legal protections, not only for getting help, but also for dealing with it over the whole crisis. For example, I think divorce is a little bit easier in the U.S. for various cases. It's easier to go to the police and whatnot there. So, and culturally, again, the U.S. is not perfect either, but it's seen as a more serious sort of thing in the U.S. and something that, I don't know, I think you'd see more people who'd be willing to do something about it. Not everybody, because it's still a bit of a sensitive sort of thing, but there's a greater willingness, I think, to step out and do something about it if you did know as a bystander.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think in the UK we face a similar situation, and one of the goals of the campaign that the British Embassy are running, and this is an issue that we're attacking globally, is the idea of raising awareness and making sure people know what's out there and what protections are out there for them.
Yeah, that is true. And we've got so many messages coming in on this special day, International Women's Day. And thank you so much for all those messages saying, you know, hello, He Young, hello, Megan, you know, have a wonderful day. And it is a day that we talk about women's rights, but it is not the only day we should devote our attention to gender equality.